through the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we shall just read a few verses, maybe 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, that is, enrolled with a view to taxation. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I want us to fasten on those words this morning, no room for him. No room for him in the inn. No room. That is, no room for Joseph and Mary, who had come down from Nazareth in the northern province of Galilee, down to Bethlehem in the southern province of Judea. And because no room for Joseph and Mary, no room for the Savior, who was soon to be born of Mary. And it was an amazing demonstration of the sovereignty of God that brought Joseph and Mary down from the northern province to the southern province of Judea and to the place called Galilee. Ordinarily, a woman would not have undertaken that journey, because being great with child, the days are shortly to be accomplished, and transportation being what it was in those days, probably nothing to ride but a donkey, and over rough mountainous roads that knew nothing of a grader. And so ordinarily, any woman being great with child would not have undertaken that journey. But you see, that the sovereignty of God worked in this event. God had predetermined that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And 750 or 800 years before he was born, the Spirit of God moved Micah to tell the place where he was born, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou art little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come. You see, he was to be born in Bethlehem. And at that time, we read that Herod was the king. Now, Herod was a very cruel man, very violent in temper, a very cruel man, and had several wives, but his favorite wife was Mariamne. And he had her murdered, And 5 days before he died, he had an order sent to have his son murdered. He was a very vindictive and a very cruel tyrant. But to this little, he was, remember that the Rome had conquered Palestine. And therefore, King Herod really had no judicial power, royal power. But Caesar had left the title Herod the Great, Herod the King, had given him the title and left it there, although Herod was under the authority of Caesar. Herod was a little tyrant, and the little tyrant had offended the big tyrant, Caesar. And because of this, and because so many Jews were scattered abroad, the big tyrant, Caesar Augustus, sent out notice that there was to be a census taken, that all in the Roman Empire were to be enrolled. A great census was to be taken in view of a new system of taxation. And he seemed to be the big man. But behind that decree, there was the determinate counsel of God. And that decree was used, and probably only thing that would bring a woman down on such a journey. So that the decree was used of God in order to bring Joseph and Mary down from the northern province of Galilee, Nazareth in the northern province of Galilee, down to this little place called Bethlehem, this little market town, Bethlehem, in the southern province of Judea. A remarkable demonstration of the power and authority of God. And so it was that they came to Bethlehem to fulfill the word that was spoken by the Spirit of God through Micah, that Bethlehem Ephrathah would be the place of his birth. And as I said in breaking bread, very suitable too, because Bethlehem meant the house of bread, very suitable for him who was the living bread from heaven. And David's well was there. Very suitable, therefore, for him who was the living water. And Ephrata, meaning fruitful, the old name for Bethlehem. Ephrata, meaning fruitful, and how suitable the name that was, being so fruitful through his redeeming grace. Now, this text, there was no room for him in the inn. That seems to be, that appears to be a very casual and incidental remark. But nothing is casual or incidental in the Word of God. And I think we ought to understand what the inn was at Bethlehem. There was no room in the inn. Now, throughout the country, there were first-class inns. You remember, for instance, the Lord's parable in Luke chapter 10 of the man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and got a beating up. And the Levite came down and passed by on the other side, and the priest came down and he passed by on the other side. But the good Samaritan, who did not belong to Jewry, the good Samaritan came down that way and had compassion upon him, figure of Christ, had compassion upon him and put him on his own beast and took him to an inn where he was taken care of. That was a first-class inn. There was food, there was a host and a hostess in a first-class inn. a host and a hostess. There was food, and there was also a bed for them to sleep in, and so on. First class hotel. And the good Samaritan left him there, paid his lodging, and promised the host and hostess that if there was more to pay, he would pay on his return. But this inn at Bethlehem was not a first-class inn. It was there was no host and no hostess and no food. It was simply a traveler's rest stop. And yet there was no room even in that place. A traveler's rest stop. So that Joseph and Mary had to go outside to a cattle stall. Probably just a few bamboo things that you see in the Far East, a few bamboo poles and a bit of thatch on top. And the first breath that the Lord drew here on earth, listen, his first breath that he drew was the stench of a cattle stall. That was his first breath, the stench of a cattle stall. And remember who he was. We see sometimes, who is he on yonder stall? 'Tis the Lord, O King of Glory. Remember who he was. Remember what it says in the Old Testament who he was. He was the seed of the woman. We are not the seed of woman. We are the seed of men. That's why we're all sinners. We're all Adam's children. We are brought into this world through the activity of man. And therefore, we, just like sheep beget sheep, and horses beget horses, sinners beget sinners. And they can beget nothing else. But our Lord was not the fruit of man's activity. The seed of a new humanity was deposited in the womb of Mary. And you see, he was called the seed of woman. Not the seed of man. He was the seed of woman. He is also called in the Old Testament the mighty God. He's called the Messiah, the anointed prophet, priest, and king. He's called the captain of the Lord's host to Joshua. He is called Jehovah, our righteousness. He has many, many names, many, many titles in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, he is spoken of as the Word of God. A God manifest in the flesh. Blessed and only potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. Prince of the kings of the earth. That's who he is. And he, coming into this world, found that there was no room. Not in a first-class hotel, not even in a traveler's rest stop, such as was in Bethlehem. No room for him in the inn. Well, there are two or three things I would like to say about this morning, maybe. That first of all, it seems to me quite appropriate. Does that shock you? Quite appropriate that there was no room in the inn. I say it was quite appropriate. You say, how is that? Well, because no material house could contain one so great. Could it? You remember when Solomon built the temple? That place which he called the House Magnifico? And all the gold and the silver that went into that house? One of the wonders of the world, surely, the Temple of Solomon. And at the great prayer of dedication of the temple, Solomon in his royal robes kneeled upon his knees. And do you know what he said? He said, the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. how much less this house that I have built for thee. And it was all gold and silver. The heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How can this house that I have built for thee, and how much less the inn in Bethlehem, that travelers rest from? You see, quite appropriate. Remember who he was? You look up into the heavens. It was he who made the heavens. But by the word of his mouth he made the heavens. By the word of his mouth were the heavens made, as easy as that. Going to the realm of angels, when he was home in glory, and the glory which he had with the Father before he came, angels veiled their faces before that glory. 9 orders of angels there are in the Word of God. And the 9 orders of angels covered their faces before the wonders of his glory. They covered their faces. Or looking here on earth, here is a living man made in the image after the likeness of God. And he is blessed. God's eternal Son as the eternal Word. He, by him, all things were created in heaven and earth. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. By him were all things created. You see, no material house could contain it. And also the natural man could not appreciate it. Our fallen humanity had become blind. When man sinned against God, before man sinned against God, when he was made in the image after the likeness of God, his mind was like a lamp of light. He walked with God, had fellowship with God. His mind was as a lamp of light. What as Shakespeare, I think it is, says, he was a paragon of excellence in his manhood. A paragon of excellence. But when that man sinned against God, he became blind as a bat. Blind as a bat. He knew nothing. He knew nothing about God. Didn't know that God was. Didn't know anything about God or the design of God. Didn't know anything about ourselves, where we came from. Isn't that true of the great professors of biology today? They don't know where we came from. Some say we came from a bit of jellied protoplasm in the sea. Some say we came from a monkey or a gorilla. Don't know where we came from. Don't know whether the man came first or the woman came from. We don't know anything. Because man is blind. Over there in my country of England, in the northern part where we had those great mines, in the days when miners worked those mines, they got not so hot on that business today. But there were donkeys down those mines that were spent all their lives down in the deep, deep mines that run right under the North Sea for 4 or 5 miles. And they were born blind, had never seen the light of day. Donkeys never seen the light of day. Born blind. So amen. You remember in John chapter 9, the story of the blind man, he was blind from birth, had never seen anything. Had never seen anything your God ever made. Had never seen the sun or the moon or the stars. Never seen the grass of the field. Never seen his own mother's face. Never seen anything. Blind from birth. So men are blind today. Because sin has darkened the mind and we do not know the things that are of God. We are blind. Blind from birth. And therefore, being who he was, the material house, A material house surely could not contain him. The natural man could not appreciate him. I say it was appropriate. It was appropriate that there was no room for him in the inn. The second thing I have to say about it is this, that it was an utterly shameful thing. An utterly shameful thing that there was no room for him, even in an inn. He who was God over all, blessed forevermore, he before whose glory angels hid their face, it was he who came, and when he came, there was no room, there was no vacancy sign with us. The no vacancy sign was up. No vacancy. No room. Not even in this traveler's rest stop at Bethlehem. No room for him in the inn. And you see that there was no place for him to lodge. That's why when he grew to manhood, he said, the foxes of old, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. After this meeting, you go home to your apartments, you go home to your home. When meetings were over in our Lord's day, he had nowhere to go. Sleep under the trees in the Mount of Olives. Nowhere to lay his head. No room for him, no place for him, no lodging place for him near Bethlehem. You see, the palaces of kings had no room for him. The palaces of kings and princes had no room for him. Or the mansions of statesmen, or the high and mighty of this world, they had no room for him, no room for him. The kings and princes of this world, they love their pomp and splendor, the pomp and splendor of their palaces. The great ones had their great mansions, but the Son of God had not where to lay his head. Oh, there was no place for him. The kings of the earth gave him no room. They have no room for him. The great ones of this earth have no room for him. Indeed, the word of God tells us in Psalm 2 that at the end of time, the kings of the earth shall gather themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ and say, let us break their bands asunder. Let's get rid of God. Let's get the thought of God out of this universe. And he that sitter in the heavens shall laugh at them. Have them in holy derision. But you see that the palaces of kings had no room for him. And also, the societies of men had no room for him. There are all kinds of societies. Some very good ones where you find some refined talk and some good manners. And this kind of thing. But don't you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ among the societies of men. Did you ever hear his name mentioned on a ballroom floor? Did you ever hear his name mentioned in the councils of government? No room for him. Short time ago, just before coming down, I read in the paper that one man, saved by God's grace, wanted to share his testimony with the folk in the restaurant. I stood up on a table and began to give his testimony to the people in the restaurant. Of course, the manager came and put him out. He came back again and stood on the table again. The manager called for some people called bouncers and bounced him out and hurt him, told him not to come back again. Who wants to hear of the Son of God? The societies of men have no room for him. And the seats of learning have no room for him. Do you know in the secular universities of this world, you can get a course of study on Satanism? You can get a course of study on the occult? You can get a course of study on demonism even. But you cannot get a course of study on the life of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He has no room. No room in the seats of learning. No room in the seats of learning. You see? And that's why they are so ignorant. They will teach you in secular universities that we came from monkeys or something like that. I remember in India one time, one of our men, one in fellowship with us in Madras, after we came out from China, we came to Sri Lanka and then to India. One of our men in Madras was a professor of zoology, head of the zoology department in Madras University. And he was chosen by President Nehru at that time as one of the 30 wise men of India to tour the European universities and share the wisdom of India with them. And this professor of zoology was speaking against evolution. Professor Enoch wrote a foreword to one of my books. Wonderful man of God. Wonderful man of God. I remember an elder, he came round for prayer just before he set off the journey. One of our elders in Madras was praying very fervently for Brother Enoch and praying fervently for him and wanted to mention this word evolution, but it slipped his mind. He couldn't think of that word evolution. He said, Lord, bless him on this monkey business. Well, you see, they toured the universities of Europe and he spoke against evolution and he spoke for creation. But you see, the secular universities of this world don't have any room for Jesus. No room for him. And also the halls of religion offer no place for him. You would have thought that of all the people, apart from heathen religion, such as Hinduism and Muslims, and Mohammedanism and Zoroastrianism and Confucianism, you'd think that the Jews would have it, because they had a religion founded upon divine revelation. But they had no faith, and they had no reverence, and they had no vision, and they had no heart. The Lord Jesus said of them, their heart is far from me. You see, God had given them a religion of symbols, all that pointed forward to Christ. But their hearts were hardened. They couldn't see past the symbol, so that when the reality came, the substance came, they crucified him on Calvary's cross, in spite of the fact of the fact that they had the Old Testament, and Moses clearly foretold, "Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree, that the Lord of glory would die up." To save us from the curse of the Lord. And David in the Psalm has Messiah saying, "They pierced my hands and my feet, Isaiah said he was bruised for our iniquities. He was, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, he said to Israel. They couldn't see. Israel read the scriptures with one eye open and one eye closed. One eye open to the glories of Messiah and one eye closed to the sufferings of Messiah. No room for him. No room for a suffering Messiah when he came. So there was no room. Utterly shameless. This is a brand that brands the brow of our humanity. We are utterly shameless people. But when the Lord of glory came, there was no room. No room. No room. No room in the palace of kings. No room in the societies of men. No room in the seats of learning. No room in the halls of religion. No room. No room for him at all. Third thing I want to say is this. I say in the first place, it was quite appropriate that there was no room. He's too big for that. In the second place, it's utterly shameless that there was no room for him. The third thing I want to say is that it was infinitely glorious that there was no room. Infinitely glorious. Why? Why? Where was the glory? Where was the glory? Where was the glory in this? The glory was here. That, first of all, he came, and he came as a child. Jewry expected a military Messiah, one already made, great military man, political military man, who would free him from the yoke of Rome. Came as a child, entered into the world as a child, that he might have a link with childhood. Born of a woman, that he might have a link with womanhood. Born a man, that he might have a link with manhood. And came into the poorest condition of earth. Born in a cattle stall. And you should see a cattle stall in the Far East to appreciate what he was born into. Born in a cattle stall. Do you know there isn't a poor person in this earth, my friend? There isn't a poor person in India or Bangladesh or anywhere else can look up into the heavens and say, Lord, you don't understand what poverty is. Doesn't he? Nobody on earth was ever born so poor as he was born. Nobody ever born so poor that he might reach down, and he was the only one who could choose his birthplace. We can't choose our birthplace. He was the only one who could choose his birthplace, and he, the Lord of glory, chose a cattle stall for his birthplace. Not the palace of kings. Though he was king of kings, he chose a cattle stall for his birthplace, that he might reach down and reach to the poorest and most despised of earth's inhabitants, so that he might reach down and touch the poorest of earth. Let me tell you this, that the Lord, in coming to the earth,
I was speaking about an inn. That is a word derived from an inn. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus? A little man, little of stature, but a man whose heart was for the Lord, seeking the Lord. And when he heard that Jesus was coming down a certain way, because he couldn't see over the crowd, he climbed up a sycamore tree that he might catch a glimpse of it. And the Lord read his heart and read a sense of need in that heart. The Lord reads hearts like that. He reads where there is need. And he meets the person who has a sense of need. And he looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, this day salvation is come to thine house. That isn't the word. You know what the people said? He's gone, they say he went home with Zacchaeus. And the people said, this is the word, he's gone to lodge. That's the word that is derived from inn. He's gone to lodge with a man that was a sinner. Gone to lodge him. Not a wonderful thing. You know why the Lord was born in a cattle stall? Because a lot of human hearts are little better than a cattle stall. They smell like a cattle stall. They stink like a cattle stall. There are human hearts that are rotten through and through. And yet, the Lord was born in the midst of it. Born in a cattle stall. And the great Lord of glory, he found a lodging place. There was no room in the palace of kings, no room in the societies of men or the seats of learning or the halls of religion. But here was a man, little Zacchaeus. Here was a man who had a room. Probably a dirty little man too. But he had a vacant place. He had a room for the Lord to lodge him. And he lodged him. It's wonderful. You know what Christmas is all about? It's behind all the toys and tinsel. That we people, born in sin, born with sinful materials, and have practiced sin, we are little better than a cattle store in the sight of God. And yet the Savior, if there's room, if we make room for him, the Lord will come and be born in our heart. Even though it smells like a child's doll, the Savior will come and lodge there. What a Savior. What a Savior. What humility. What a Savior. To be born in such hearts as ours and then to clean them up and through the years make us in his own image after his own likeness again. May God make Christmas real to us like that. for his name's sake. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we give thee thanks for this hour. We thank thee for the memory of whether December the 25th was the day or not, it doesn't matter, he did come. And Lord, we thank thee that thou didst do, and thou didst come into the poorest form of human existence, that thou mightest reach the lowliest, the most despised of mankind. We thank thee, Lord, thou art still willing to be born in a cattle stall, still willing wherever there is a lodging place. Great part of this world has no room, but we thank thee for men like Zacchaeus, who had a room and who lodged the Savior. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and lodge within these hearts of ours. Come, Lord. May there be no vacancy sign up. Lord, find a place in our hearts. Find a place that thou mightest lodge within us forever. For thy name's sake. Amen.